Welcome to Nowhere to Run with Christopher White.
Thanks for tuning in. Welcome to Nowhere to Run. My name is Chris. That song in the intro was called Brighter Day from Chris Lizette. I also play a lot of Ryan Delmore, both of them from Vineyard Music, and I'm a really big fan of both of them. So check that out at vineyardmusic.com, Chris Lizette and Ryan Delmore. But that song was called Brighter Day. You can go to the website, which is nowheretorunradio.com, and you can find links there to my other shows and to contact me for any questions or comments or critiques about anything said in any previous show or in this show or any future shows. In this episode, we are lucky to have our friend Russ Dizdar with us, and we talked about a lot of different things, but primarily focused on a new project he has out about evangelism, and we also got some updates about what's going on in his ministry and with Shatter the Darkness. Russ's website is shatterthedarkness.net. So here is Russ Dizdar on Nowhere to Run. First thing I want to talk about is the email that you sent out yesterday. It sounded like a really exciting idea and project. Just wanted to kind of get your opinion about what all was going on with that, Russ, and just kind of just walk me through some of the details of that concept.
Sure. We've seen over the, you know, the last year, because I've always been in evangelism for years and years and years, both in parachurch and local church. And so, I mean, that's really, people see me as involved in deliverance and exorcism and spiritual warfare. But the truth is, the centrality of what we've done and seek to do is evangelism. It's to me the frontline issue, but because of the place we've gone with it and our target to the new age and target to the, you know, that side of things, a lot of deliverance comes up. But the emphasis right now for me is that so many people have contacted us and share, and there's a lot of people that know a lot of things that are going on bad, and all of that's good to know and then see things exposed. But if we don't, the frontline issue is this pouring out of evangelism that we see in the Book of Acts. That's where, again, not only is it the frontline mission, the first thing that should be being done, but it's the place where great power and great might, and in the Book of Acts, you know, we're spelling this out, and some of the stuff we're going to lay out, probably about an 18-week-long, you know, 1 hour each week training or teaching on this area of evangelism. And I believe that every single believer that's born again, that's saved, and really yielded the Spirit of God and filled, we're called to do the Great Commission, to reach individuals. It's why Jesus died. It's why all heaven rejoices when one individual repents. So I believe every believer can win souls. I believe every believer can do great things in that sense. Of course, we will train people on healing, deliverance, and other aspects in the context of evangelism. But I just think that, instead of just a few thousand people that listen and are educated on the end of the world Illuminati stuff, why not see these same believers become extremely powerful prayer warriors and soul winners, like in the Book of Acts, where massive fruit occurred and where the centrality of the power and even signs and wonders occurred. That's where I think we should invest the ultimate, not stopping what we're doing, but I just felt really impressed, and I'm already getting just all kinds of people saying, yes, absolutely, count me in, add me to it, and that's been exciting.
So what kind of planner are you looking at how as far as implementation and things like that?
Well, what we do here locally and have done here for a long time, we call it REAP trips, deals with research, exposure, evangelism, and prayer. We've been to like 60 cities where we take a team of people to go in if we've heard a tip about some coven stuff. Well, irregardless of what we've heard, if we're going to meet a victim of satanic ritual abuse, irregardless, when we gather together, it's usually at least an hour's worth of this prayer mapping that we do, very intense prayer as we're driving to the location. Our commitment from when we first gather together is, hey, you know, the moment we begin, whether we're stopping at a gas station or a food place later on, the goal is evangelize anybody. So it's like a team going out, seeking evangelism in the midst of our trip to some area, pouring out prayer for revival, praying against the dark powers. But we just want to win souls. So what I'm going to do is we're going to broaden these teams here locally in March on. We're going to see how the recruiting goes, because I've been used to recruiting here locally, hundreds of people, and training them in evangelism, you know, over the years, and sending them out, or, you know, taking them out and actually doing it, whether it's door to door at Borders or at a concert or at a Renaissance fair or a psychic fair. We'll go where, you know, no matter where we go. But with the internet issue right now and so many people that have contacted me that want to do something, well, the something should be this. So we're going to do the training over the air over like a period of 18 weeks. It's going to be kind of like a course, a training course, but it's free. And we might link it with some kind of local conference here in late May, like a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday thing, to where there's both training in this area that will accompany, well, it'll be evangelism in the context of the idea of power evangelism, which would include praying for sick people or you know, dealing with demonic stuff if it shows up. But if we do the local conference, we'll do like we did in the past. We take people out on the field and, you know, whether that's going to houses, homes, names we already have, to get them into the experience of it. And we'll seek to do another one next October. And we'll see how that goes. If there's, you know, 20 people the first time or 200 and then more the next time, the goal will be to equip believers both in the teaching aspect, in the future resources, but I want them on the field. I want them to be able to go home and say, wow, man, the Spirit of God led me to this guy, and I led this person to Jesus, and they took me home to their family, and I shared the Lord with everybody there. You know, that's what I want to see happen, and I think it's supposed to happen as we're involved in the Great Commission.
Sure. And you've talked before about how in the book of Acts and elsewhere, the evidences of people that receive the Holy Spirit in those times it's mentioned as the Holy Spirit is the evidence is that they become essentially witnesses. They become empowered witnesses for Christ. And I think that the interesting thing that you've brought out in several courses that I've heard, the Warrior Witness is a great one. And it's that God seems to empower a soul-winning ministry. A lot of people think it's by their own steam and that they're out there, you know, they've got to be so, you know, charismatic or go knocking on the right this or say the right thing or have the right track. But it's if you could maybe just speak a little bit about God's working in this Great Commission.
Sure. And part of this is developed because I've been doing this course. It was going to be 12 hours. It's turned down into a 22-hour course on the Holy Spirit. And obviously this always fires me up when we come to this part of it. You know, and that's why I put out the 15th, I think that's the 14th session out of the course I put out. It's even on our website straight out right now. I think I sent it to everybody, called, I think it's like the Holy Spirit and fire and winning souls or something like that. Anyway, it's a 1 hour message that has already invoked some response, but it deals with that central thing. Jesus died on the cross for the sum total of the world. God didn't send him into the world to condemn it. He sent him to save. The Great Commission, go to all highways and byways, go to preach the good news to every creature, make disciples of all nations. So this command, the purpose of Christ and the command, the instruction, is that this is the front line. This is what all of heaven, God the Father, the Son, the Spirit, this is what the angels of God are dispatched for right now. This is the biggest thing in human history since the fall of the human race. It involves that first prophecy in Genesis 3:15. But Jesus said in Luke 24, that we as believers would be clothed with power from on high, so that we, you know, that the offer of the gospel and repentance to the nations, this is a global, the pouring out of the Spirit is to move the body of Christ, the vessels, us, you and I, to the world and bring this message. And so we look at the book of Acts, and man, it is the book where, well, even Acts 1:8, Jesus said, you receive power. The Greek word dunamis, the felt, expressed, you can't have that power without it being conscious. A conscious, expressed power. That's what dunamis is, even in the Greek. So to be filled or clothed with the power of the Spirit of God, Jesus said, you will be my witnesses. Now, here's the issue, Chris. I have been in, you know, ministry and believe in all giftings and workings, and I exercise what giftings I also have. But if I have the charismatic gift of mercy, that's for mercy. If I have the charismatic gift of helps, that's for helps. If I have the charismatic gift of teaching, that's the purpose of that. Is for teaching. But if I'm clothed with the power of the Holy Spirit, that is for the purpose of witness. In every single case in the book of Acts, a 30-year history, whether it's Paul, Peter, Stephen, Philip, Barnabas, doesn't make any difference. Everyone clothed and filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, the central issue is they became an effective and eventually unstoppable soul-winning witness of Jesus Christ. They won souls. In each case where power filled and the work of the Holy Spirit is operating in these soul winners, is that's where in all the cases in the book of Acts, that's where the greatest demonstration of power, backing from heaven, the even signs and wonders, and even the primary issues of healing and deliverance occurred in the context of that kind of clothed with the fire of God, the power of God, evangelism. And that's just, and I've been through a lot of training from all kinds of denominations and ministries over the years, a lot of good stuff, a lot of great books. I'd say read anything on evangelism, but the simplicity is, and the centrality is, this mega, massive, global mission of God involves going to the person right next to us, let alone passionately with all of our effort. We've got to get to every single person. I think that the reason many, many people aren't getting saved today, Chris, is nobody's witnessing to them. And nobody's unleashing this gospel of power, this gospel of the love of God, this gospel of unprecedented hope. I don't think, I'm just going on here. I've already done this in the message, so I don't want to preach the whole sermon here, but listen, when any of those Spirit-filled people in the book of Acts, they simply, centrally, were involved in that mission. I think one of the greatest examples that the Spirit of God gave us was Philip, a second generation. He wasn't an apostle. He was a second generation believer, saved, filled with the Spirit of God, and committed to the Great Commission, and he became unstoppable. And God did powerful things around him. Even when he was by himself, he was able to see the promise of Jesus to be with us always to the end of the age and to work among us. He as an individual went into Samaria and helped turn the whole city upside down, let alone deal with Simon the sorcerer. And the results were that great joy. Now, that wasn't revival per se. That was the unleashing of biblically oriented, supernaturally empowered, compassionate evangelism.
In the book of Acts, it becomes obvious that they were very aware that they had been given the Holy Spirit. They were conscious and they knew it. They went out with confidence about it. And if we can get back to that point, I think that that's part of what this 22-hour course on the Holy Spirit, and that learning about that and understanding the nature and the attributes of the Holy Spirit and all the different things that you could do in 22 hours of that, then that would, again, put us kind of back to where we were at that time. And I think that's what we need, as you put it in the and here, the final hour of evangelism, which if you could maybe talk a little bit about that site and maybe some of the concept of the final hour of evangelism.
Sure. Sure. We're just going to simply put up a separate page that, just like we have a Blaze for God or the Dynamic Discipleship, this will only focus on the call to evangelism, the focus of evangelism, the power in evangelism, how evangelism, the gospel is worked, how the evangelism in the word is used, how evangelism, the power of the Holy Spirit, how evangelism in prayer, how evangelism is connected to healing or deliverance or signs or wonders, the efforts of evangelism, the spiritual warfare that goes on where Satan tries to steal the word of God so people can't believe and be saved. We'll deal with the warfare aspect. We'll deal with the concept of, well, the final hour issue is, you know, if we're in the final hours of history, if the Antichrist is really out there somewhere, one day going to, you know, come to power, whether 5 years or 10 years, I don't know when, but it wouldn't matter either. It's a matter of the biggest mission of all is the reaching of lives. That's why Jesus died, not willing that even one would perish. So that site that we'll add on, called the Final Hour, you know, subtitle, you know, evangelism, whatever, is just going to be packed with the MP3s on the subject, with resources and book materials, old and new stuff. And if we start seeing, like I've seen in the last couple of days, a number of people beginning to write me immediately and say, hey, Russ, count me in. I want to be one of these 1,000 prayer warriors. So we're going to just simply on the site, we're going to just be praying, you know, because of all the listeners, and there's people in other countries and live listeners Sunday night. We're just going to simply take anybody who wants to be a part of that, commit to a certain basic, you know, commitment to it too, though, and say, hey, you know, on a weekly basis or a monthly basis, you know, send in a report, let us know how things are going. We're going to give assignments to individuals who are willing in their own cities, whether it's one or a small group of people, and we're going to want to hear reports back. And what I'll probably do is on the live show, or if I extend the live show to a couple other nights, we might do interviews with people who have been on the field, like in Philadelphia or in San Francisco or in the UK, wherever, and talk about how the Holy Spirit led them and what occurred and who they led to Jesus. And, you know, one of the first assignments I'm going to give to that whole process is our family members. The most significant time in my life was in the middle of a week-long evangelism effort, you know, reaching out and having nightly preaching. I felt burdened for my grandmother, Chris, and I just wondered, she was from Dalmatia, Croatia, Yugoslavia. She was 79 years old. So I went over with a gospel track. That's all I did. I just went over. I loved my grandma, and I knew I just wanted her saved. And so I spent a lot of hours with her just talking about the old country. And then I finally started talking about whether she knew God, whether she understood. And I asked her if I can share a gospel tract. And I just used that for something, her to read scripture along with me. But I just brought out the gospel to her and shared Jesus. And I finally came to that part where I said, Grandma, and this was scary. It was really scary. This is back in 1970, the end of the 70s, probably around 1980, matter of fact. But I said, Grandma, do you want to accept Jesus Christ right now as Lord and Savior, and know that you have the gift of eternal life? And she took her glasses off. She looked at me, and then she said yes. And I led her outwardly. I mean, I led her to an open, vocal prayer for her to pray to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. She did that right then and there. I mean, I was as happy as can be. I was like floating on cloud nine, and talking to her and just, you know, I was like, you know, I was probably more happy than even she was, because but the weird thing is this, Chris, what happens is this. She shortly, I mean, within a month, called me and said, you know, she called me Russell. She said, Russell, I got a dream that I'm going to be going home to heaven soon. So I went over to hear about this. And she was so convinced that God, she was saved. She knew she was going to heaven, but that God was letting her know, like kind of like in the book of Peter, you can read where Peter says the Lord made it known to him that he'd soon be leaving his body. That's the kind of thing that happened. And my grandma began to tape little pieces of tape on every article in her apartment, who it goes to. She made all of her plans. And Chris, I was there within that year when she died. I was there in the hospital with her, talking to her. She put her hand on my cheek and said, I'm leaving. And she was fearless. She said, I'm leaving now. I'm going to heaven. And she looked at me and patted me on my face and she left. And, what I didn't know was that when her daughter, which is my aunt, came in from California, she sat me down. She says, Russell, I want you to know something. She said, give me a moment here, because it always breaks me up when I talk about it. But she said, did you know that when you went over to Grandma's house, you didn't know this, Russell, but she called me and she told me that you came over, and she told me that you shared God's love with her, and that she accepted Jesus as her Savior, and that she knew that day that she was saved and that she was going to heaven. And that's what, you know, it was a year later, almost a year later, and she said it was her last birthday or last year, and her other daughter and family members were saying, no, Grandma, don't say that, and she was convinced. And, Chris, there's just, I can't wait that when the Lord comes, and after I see Jesus, of course, I'm going to look in that crowd, and I'm going to find, and I know she'll be looking for me.
Amen.
I'll find her, you know. So, you know, there, what could be more incredible than something like that?
Right. And I think, you know, Russ, having something like that where people would have assignments, as you mentioned, I mean, having a central location, that's just the way it, you know, I know that I work, you know, if somebody is saying, you know, this is what we're all going to join together, and we're all going to do this, you know, this week, and we're all going to do this, and, you know, or, you know, at least, you know, give ideas and things like that in the context of having other ideas and things. I mean, and also things, you know, you know, like what you did with the Bohemian Grove and praying against that, you know, those types of things too, could be just a major, I mean, it would just be a really, really wonderful thing, I think. If people wanted to, I mean, we're getting excited about it. If they wanted to, how would they go ahead and join up? I mean, are you saving the emails? If people email you, will you like, save them and put them on a list later or something?
Yeah, what I'm going to do is, and because we're combining the idea of prayer warrior and soul winner together, because I still think that the forefront should be the evangelistic efforts. And by the way, with the Bohemian Grove issue, that's still nonstop, constantly prayed about. The agenda there has never stopped. And we'll probably have that connected in the idea of the warfare prayer and who knows? I've talked with people from that area that they've been praying long before we, you know, we were, and they see us as an answer to their prayers, calling in more people to pray. So the again, because nothing's going to happen without that. And here's what I find in evangelism too, over all these years of, you know, doing it myself, training others, preaching in crusades, and I love to train others, because here's part of the reason. When they get unleashed, I've never seen in my life a depressed soul, somebody's out winning souls. I've never seen anybody, I mean, they're excited about it. They have testimonies to tell. They've got stories. I mean, I could tell you story after story after story of my dad that I got to lead to Christ, family members, but then outside of that, individuals and people and groups. And one time we had a crusade thing that so many people came forward to get saved. I ended up with about 60 people, not one, not two, but leading all these people in prayer together to receive Christ. It was the power of God was there. It was incredible. People were weeping. They were inundated by God's grace. So here's what's true about the evangelism. If we don't commit to it and put effort into it, And if we just sit back, because the thing that some Christians, you know, even genuinely, you know, heartfelt Christians will say, you know, I'm really, you know, I'm ready for the Lord to lead me, or I'm praying for God to give me an opportunity, which is good, but I'm saying that in many cases, you know, nothing occurs, because that's not what Jesus said to do. He didn't say wait, he said go. And when he said go to the highways and the byways, when we look in the book of Acts, we find out by the time we come to Acts chapter 5, verse 42, it says this about the testimony of those obedient, spirit-empowered believers. Here's the testimony. They never stopped preaching and teaching that Jesus was the Christ, going from house to house and in the temple courts. So this is part of the testimony of that early church. You couldn't stop Peter. You couldn't stop Paul. You couldn't stop Philip. You couldn't stop Stephen until you killed him. And again, there's only one that got killed in the whole of the book of Acts that we know of. So it's not a worry about everybody getting killed for going out witnessing. Not saying that won't happen in some countries, but it's the idea that, you know, this week, you know, I'm looking to, you know, I know one thing is when my team gets together. In the last couple of weeks, it has been so cold, and my truck's been down. We haven't been out even in 2 weeks. But when we gather and go, something always happens. Now, if we don't get to lead somebody to Christ that night, it might be that we pray with somebody, or we dealt with a victim of, you know, ritual abuse, or we did some prayer for healing, or, you know, other things, or that we laid out an hour's worth of, you know, major prayer, let alone the fellowship that we get to have, which is always a joy. But It does take going. It does take being out there. Nobody's going to get led to Christ. Even the word says in Romans 10, how can they believe on whom they've not heard? Faith comes from hearing. So the gospel is so powerful, so faith enabling, let alone the conscious dynamic work of the Holy Spirit to bring convincing, convicting, and so forth in lives, that when that gospel is unleashed, you know, if you go out this week and you share Jesus in the context of that gospel, calling them to come to receive him to 10 different people, it's very likely that 3, 4, 5 people are going to get saved because we were out there doing that. Notice, they're not showing up in droves to church. Lost people, primarily, overwhelmingly, are not showing up at churches. They just don't come. I didn't go to a church. It was some guy that came to a big old drug party, big rock and roll, massive party one night, entered our house, and began to preach Jesus to everybody. Chased me out the back door, basically, until he confronted me. And with the witness that he poured on me about Jesus, I was so, I mean, here I'm a lost sinner, high, drunk. I was like, get me out of here. I left my own apartment and went home. But that was the night that I got saved, 4 o'clock in the morning. I couldn't get off of me that presence, that word, that message of Jesus. And that's the night that I got saved. So we're going to have to take assignments. We're going to have to take and do the effort and hunt. Just literally go out, and that's what soul winning is. It's hunting down, going to people in the presence and compassion and love of Jesus, and sharing. And there will be that's where you're going to find this flooding work of the Spirit of God in the midst of that.
Absolutely. As you said, you know, it was the power of God went with David because he went out there to face Goliath. But, you know, I found in the context of evangelism and things like that, some people, you know, people have this idea that, you know, it's just an impossible task, but a lot of people just need it brought up, and they're already there. I mean, I'm sure it surprised you in a number of times, like how easy it was for some people. You just bring up Jesus and it's on, I guess you could say. But go ahead if you want. But I wanted to say, what would you say to a person? What's the first step that they can get in right now? Maybe if they have felt convicted that this is something they need to do, maybe they, you know, the Holy Spirit's definitely moving them in this direction. What's a good first step for them right now to do this? Why this is all getting set up and everything? What's a good step right now for that person?
Well, I think the number one step is a faith-filled surrender to Jesus. Just a faith-filled surrender, saying, Jesus, I surrender to be your witness. and a total yieldedness and asking for him to saturate you with the Spirit of God, who, by the way, will give you more, not only, you know, sometimes just instantly, but some, you know, but sometimes like with Paul, he grew more and more powerful along the way. But there's that's where this a confidence and the presence of the Spirit, the power, that dynamic upon and within, and that Jesus literally, and there's no question, they're going to be helped. Jesus said, "I will be with you always," to the in that context. So the first thing is a faith-filled surrender to Jesus, saying, "Lord, I want to win souls. I give myself to win souls. Grant me, you know, all that is necessary. Clothe me afresh, fill me all over again. Just soak me and saturate me in the Spirit of the Spirit's power." And from that surrender, I would say, here's what I would tell someone: sit down and give yourself only 5 minutes the first time you do this, with a piece of paper in front of you. Sit down and say, "Lord, remind me of everybody I know that needs to get saved." It just quiet time, 5 minutes, sit down, say, "Lord, remind me," and begin to take a piece of paper. And I'd say right now, Chris, if you and I did that and said, we'll take 3 minutes. I did this in a church of 800 members. The pastor allowed me to do this in the local church. We were doing a crusade thing there. And I asked him to have all the people there, you know, to do the same thing, only 3 minutes. To write down every single name of a person. Don't worry about the address or phone number first. Just write down the name of every lost person that God reminds you. I don't care if it's a grocery store guy or if the Lord reminds you of a guy at the gas station. Maybe, in some cases, the Lord reminded somebody of a friend from school 5 years ago. So anyway, some people wrote down 5, 6 names. Some people, within a 5-minute or 3-minute period, wrote down 35 names. In that large church of 800, we collected all those sheets afterwards and brought them forward. And while I talked a little bit more on evangelism, counters counted all this stuff up, that church came up with about 3,400 names. And I looked at the pastor. I said, "Pastor, here's 800 people of your church. Here's 3,400 names. Here's what you do with it now." Or if it's an individual comes up with 7 names, begin to just saturate all those people with prayer. Even if it's a person that you haven't seen for 5 years, if God gives you their name, identify them as a lost person that needs to get saved, write their name down and begin to pray over those people and saturate them with prayer that they'll be open to the gospel, that things will work out. Next step is to then, you know, call them or visit them or stop by where they work well, a lot of things can be done. You can literally share with the person, "Hey, I want you to know something. I was praying the other day and the Lord brought you to my mind and I've been praying for you. Is there anything I can pray for you about?" And a lot of people we do that with will say, unsaved, we'll say, "I got a brother that's into drugs or this going on or that going on." Or they might say no. You might invite him to a concert. You might take, like you do, talk about a CD or a DVD, some kind of evangelistic tool like that to take with you. And the bottom line, though, is going to be saying, you know what, you know, when, you know, if they're in work, you might have to make an appointment with them. If it's somebody else, at some point, you're going to have to say, "Listen, I want you to know that I've come because God has moved my heart. He loves you." And if a person starts off with saying that to somebody, there's not a whole lot of people. And I would say, Chris, out of thousands of people over 30 years, in biker bars, in hardcore areas, I've only had one person threaten my life. And when I shared with them, because they were mad that we were even on the streets, they had this big old huffy, muscle-bound guy. It's like, "You guys should keep this junk in your churches," da, 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 on and on and on. "And I'm sick of Christians, and Christians hurt me." And I looked at him, and his name was Bruce, and I said, "Bruce," it just came out of my mouth. I looked at him and I said, "Well, Bruce, I apologize. I apologize for any Christians ever hurt you, and I'm sorry for any Christians who've been a hypocrite, but I want you to know that Jesus is not, and I want you to know I'm sorry that if anybody's ever hurt you." He instantly melted, and it's like you can feel the Holy Spirit fall upon him, that situation, and his arms went down, his fur went down, and he let me share the whole gospel with him. Now, he didn't accept Christ right that little moment right there. But it's like again, there's the Holy Spirit, took him from this angry, furred up, his muscles were all tensed. You know, I don't know if he's going to punch me or what, to where he was like, and I could tell you so many stories like that. So it's the bottom line is just getting to the person and saying, listen, and I did this to a skinhead one time. I said, listen, you don't know who I am, but I was standing over there and I was praying and the Lord just wanted me to come over to you. And the Lord showed me that you were raised in church, weren't you? And this tattooed, pierced skinhead guy looked at me and said, he just kind of like smiled, shame, like a sheep, sheepishly put his head down. He goes, yeah, I was raised in church. And I said, well, listen, God hasn't forgotten you. And I said, have you heard of the four spiritual laws? And I think I had a four spiritual laws track. I like those, but you don't have to have anything. You can use whatever, if it's a gospel track. I use it as a bridge. So I used it in sharing with him. That's the bottom line. A faith-filled surrender to Jesus. Take a piece of paper. Ask Jesus in a 3 to 5 minute period to give you every name. Pray over those. Begin to go after them. Even if it's just inviting them to a good church service where the gospel will be shared, or some kind of Christian event, concert, whatever. Or the most exciting thing is that you get to present Jesus to them and actually ask them, are you ready to ask the living Christ to come into your heart and be Savior and Lord? And see what happens.
Great. And there's, if people might want to brush up kind of on what it really means and be confident, I think be confident in what you know about Jesus and things like that, I think really helps. And so, but for the most part, there's so much information out there right now. And I think a lot of people that if they're listening to this, they probably have access to a lot of different things. And your courses are really, really a lot of this kind of information, and a lot more information that you kind of get by osmosis and understanding it. And I recommend definitely your courses. This new one, what's the name of it?
The new course right now is just called God the Holy Spirit. And that's one of the paid courses we do. We've got a number of those and more coming out. And they can get into that. And I've always said that if someone doesn't have any money, if they just tell me, hey, I don't have a penny. Someone wrote me the other day, I don't have a penny. Well, I'm giving them the course. I want them to be, have the equipping. There is on preemptionbroadcast.com, that site, there is under supernatural evangelism, under that site, there is that what you mentioned earlier, that warrior witness. That's actually a conference we did here locally. And after a Friday night, Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon, when we did all the teaching on this, I think it was a total of 6 hours. Then we took people out and to people's homes to do direct evangelism. And so that's up there free. There's already 6 hours. If anybody goes to Preemption, just simply www.preemptionbroadcast.com, and then on the left side where it says supernatural evangelism, click it on. They can have 6 hours of an actual conference we did a few years ago.
Sure. Also, Firestarter, I don't know if that was a course or just audio, but ran across that earlier today, actually doing a little preparation.
Yeah. We'll probably switch that and the Warrior Witness. We'll probably put all that material on that Final Hour Evangelism site. We'll probably just condense it all together. But yeah, Firestarters is also about getting fired up and getting involved in evangelism and prayer too. Yeah.
Well, let's talk a little quick. I know you're going to run here in just a minute. So let's talk real quick about Shatter the Darkness in general. What's been going on with Shatter the Darkness? What's your plans for the future? Just give us an update on Shatter.
Sure. It's still, because that more and more people have heard, more and more people listen. And what happens is we have a lot of victims right now. We're spending a lot of time per week doing the Freedom Encounter prayer stuff over the phone, hearing their issues locally. Some have actually come here, driven here. Some have flown me out to their own cities to do the prayer, Freedom Event, Encounter, the deliverance stuff. So the activity of individuals that need help is very high, and more and more people from many places are listening. We're doing the live show on Sunday nights that now we have every Sunday night people from Australia, Canada, England, and United States listen in. So those have been pretty good too. So we're doing the same materials, putting out every single week brand new broadcast podcast stuff, the live stuff. So we're doing all that, continuing to add to the sites. There's one new aspect we're going to begin in March after the book's done. That is called The Ragged Edge. Now, that's going to be, again, another separate page. But The Ragged Edge will be a weekly commentary that is kind of like taking this kind of ministry into the political arena. And kind of like what Gary Codd did, he traced what his first book called The Demonic Roots of Globalism. So this one critical commentary, it's kind of, again, entering and dealing not with personality so much as with policy and hitting up wherever we see the kind of globalist policies and advances and agendas, because it all has its roots in the fallen cherub and what he wants for the globe. So that's going to be new also in March. And the thing that we're pressured with the most, Chris, right now is we're probably 2 weeks behind in getting the book completely edited and done and to a publisher. But we're supposed – anytime now on Amazon.com, we should have pre-orderability up. And about 35 days after that, the printed book will be out, and that'll be a relief. It has been, you know, lately a battle and interruptions, and so we're working hard to get it done. It's just affecting a lot of people. And Chris, the incredible work that you've done, and especially everybody writes me about the Black Awakening promo you've done. You've seen probably, 5,000 people have already looked at it. Sure. And they think that it's like somebody from Hollywood put that thing together. They think it's better than most movie trailers they've seen. And so I'm like, this thing, it was, when I first saw it, it is so cool, and it has attracted attention. People have written and said, man, I've seen the promo, I want the book, and I'm like, oh, I'm not going to put any dates out, but it's coming soon.
Well, my plan, Russ, was when you have the pre-orders ready, I was going to make that, just get that everywhere. I mean, I'm going to do a lot of stuff with that. The minute that you say people can buy the book, I've got some plans for that. So
good.
We'll get it out to a lot more people. Obviously, it sounds like you have a lot on your plate with all this stuff. I'm sure your workload has increased quite a bit. Do you have I know it's kind of hard in the type of ministry that Shatter is to just get volunteers, but do you feel like you have all the help that you need there?
For what we do web-wise and broadcast-wise, a lot of that's just primarily me and what I'm doing, the courses, things like that, things that I have to do. But as far as that's one of the agendas for 2009 was that when the book is, you know, out of my hands, and hopefully that's by, you know, this month, and that in March locally I will beef up the local team to where we're, you know, consistently out every single week into the areas we need to be. And by summertime I want to be into Pennsylvania a lot and into other places a lot. So there'll be a lot of on-the-field work. I might even do some of the live shows on the field out at places like I did last year when I was in other cities. We will try to, you know, recruit locally. Years ago, we had up to 200 people in an outreach teams in another area of ministry we're in. So I don't know if we'll get that, you know, that high here or not. I would love it. Whether it's a small team or a larger teams, whoever, you know, the bottom line is effective spirit-filled witnesses that want to pray and want to go after the lost and are ready to deal with the other stuff that comes up. I'm sure that we'll put even more people on the field local.
Sure.
We'll see how it goes in the broad sense. People from other cities and states and places, some that want to come in locally to do, you know, be a part of the conference if we do the local conference here. So, we'll beef it up.
Yeah. And I got to say, I mean, the, probably one of the best ways to support a ministry is what you have with your courses. I mean, you obviously are pretty good steward with the whole situation, as effective as the whole ministry has been. But what a wonderful thing with the courses that you've put together. You do have a very interesting way, a unique way of laying things out, and you know, it's all meticulous with the notes and everything else like that. And I personally have taken a lot of the courses, and I attribute most of my like discipleship to those courses. And so if people are looking for that, or they feel like they want to learn a lot and they don't feel like they, you know as much as they should and things like that, you get to support your ministry in probably every aspect, and also get a really, really effective courses out of it. And generally speaking, they're about 20 hours, some more, some less, of audio that are jam packed with very detailed. You're not exactly rambling on those. You're hitting some pretty serious issues. So I would, anybody that's listening, shatterthedarkness.net for those courses is an excellent way to support a ministry and to edify and get discipleship for any number of topics. You've got a lot of courses out there. So.
Sure. There's I think six of them are up right now. The seventh is going up right now. The one on the Holy Spirit. There's another six or seven that we'll be adding on. I'll be completing this one on the Holy Spirit this next week. All 22 hours will be up, and then we'll start on one called Supernatural Apologetics, and then we have one on the Antichrist coming up. So yeah, they're some of them deal a little more with information. Some of them are equipping oriented. They all have a little bit of a cutting edge of, okay, here's what's going on out there, so here's what we need to be doing. But they have, most of them have outline notes where they can just, it's the same thing I do, Chris, when I teach locally in a Bible study, or if I was to teach like in a first year college course. If I was at Malone College, where, you know, I came from, one of the local colleges anyway, it's the same materials I have taught locally. So it's like a Bible school level, if not first college year level, you know, course. The theology course is 58 hours long, and it would be the equivalent of the local college here, two full-blown theology course or classes. So what we've done local, we've just simply put it up on the web and put it out there.
Great. And if people wanted to get involved in the whole thing with the Final Hour of Evangelism and that whole project, I guess would emailing you be a good way to get in touch with you about that?
Sure. They can definitely email at shatterxmail@sbcglobal.net, shatterxmail@sbcglobal.net, or just go to the Shatter site, because when you look on that, I'll eventually, probably within a week, have a little, you know, square up there that says Final Hour Evangelism, something like that. They can click on that, and that's where it'll begin. And I'll put up the 6 hours of Warrior Witness already, and I'll put in how they can put their name. You know, they have to put their full name, but, you know, we're going to have a little section where people put their name and say, hey, I'm Joe from Pittsburgh. I'm Fred from San Francisco, you know. And I want a whole listing of those names there, too, and then some of the results so they can sign up for it. There is a little bit of a requirement in this sense. You got to be saved to get involved. And you got to be a believer that believes the word of God and the basics, that you're willing to, you know, really seek the power of the Holy Spirit upon your life and be involved, both in the prayer aspect and in the, we're going to try to help on the broad sense of the internet. We're going to give all of the stuff on that particular page will be free training. The same training we would do here locally or at a college or at a church, you know, if we were doing a conference. And that will be ongoing to where we're adding stuff on a weekly basis. We'll be adding testimonies about so-and-so got saved here, so-and-so. Maybe it'll involve, you know, a little bit of video, too, to where teams from other places can tell, you know, get together and tell their story, or I'll interview them. And so it'll be an ongoing thing once it's completely, you know, up and running, and it'll just continue to build from that point.
Great. Sounds really good. If you want to hang on here right after this, I think that about do it. We're right here at about an hour. So we want to thank Russ Dizdar, and his website is shatterthedarkness.net. Thanks, Russ.
Thanks, Chris.